The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Hockey World. Therefore, be it resolved that all members of this House congratulate the Burke Brawlers, 2014 Burmac Cup champions. Mr. Speaker, I request waiver of notice and passage without debate.
There has been a request for waiver. Is it agreed? It is agreed. Would all those in favor of the motion please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded, nay. Motion is carried. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The time is now 2:30. Four will conclude at 3:34. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the 2013 television leaders debate during the election, the Premier told all Nova Scotians, and I quote, "I can guarantee that we'll be taking the $46 million off our power rates if elected by removing the NDP electricity tax." Well, Mr. Speaker, we now know that isn't happening, because what the Premier did not tell Nova Scotians is that he's going to allow Nova Scotia Power to put that tax right back on our power bills. This is just a shell game at its worst. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask the Premier, at what point did he realize he would not be able to keep his signature election promise?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I also want to thank the Minister of Energy for a tremendous job he's done on behalf of the people of Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker. Not only are we going to keep, Mr. Speaker, our election promise by removing the efficiency tax off every power bill come January 1st of next year, Mr. Speaker, let me say that again. Power bills will be going down in this province, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, under the great leadership of the Minister of Energy, we've taken it one step further. We've created now an efficiency competition for the monopoly in this province, which will continue, quite frankly, to drive power rates down even further.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In that same election television debate, the Premier clearly said that the efficiency Nova Scotia fee would be, and I quote, "taken off our power bills and be legislated that the utility pays for that efficiency through their profits." Well, they aren't going to be paid through their profits, Mr. Speaker, not at all. Oh no, we're all going to still pay that efficiency fee, just in another place on our power bill. After all, Mr. Speaker, it is an elaborate and complicated and farcical shell game. But Mr. Speaker, I will ask the Premier, what happened to his guarantee that those fees would be paid through their profits?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to remind the Honourable Member that power bills will be going down and the efficiency tax will be removed from every power bill in the province of Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker. We are doing something, Mr. Speaker, that his party was unable to do, which is actually drive down power rates in the province of Nova Scotia. On top of that, Mr. Speaker, we've taken the efficiency programs, Mr. Speaker, and created a separate entity that will drive competition with the utility, with the URB, will continue to monitor, which will drive down rates, Mr. Speaker, which will again provide relief for for Nova Scotia ratepayers.
Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the only party that the Liberals are copying today is the NDP, who broke their signature promise not to raise our taxes. Now they're breaking their signature promise on the efficiency tax because it's not being charged to the power company, as he guaranteed Nova Scotians. It's being charged right back on our power bills. That is a fact. That's exactly what they're going to do, Mr. Speaker. And the only other thing that makes them different from the NDP is when Nova Scotia Power recovers every dollar of that efficiency fee that they're so proud of today, Mr. Speaker, they're going to charge a 9% guaranteed profit for them on top of it. At least the NDP didn't do that when they broke their tax promise, Mr. Speaker. So I'll ask the Premier, why are broken NDP promises on taxes any worse than broken Liberal promises on power rates?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure what the Leader of the Opposition doesn't understand, quite frankly. The efficiency tax will be removed from every power bill, Mr. Speaker. Let me tell this again, that every power bill in the province of Nova Scotia will decrease come January 1st, Madam Speaker. Mr. Speaker, and the only way, Mr. Speaker, that any efficiency program is going to, if it's actually cheaper and saves power customers even more money, Mr. Speaker. I can't for the life of me understand why the Leader of the Opposition is opposed to reducing power rates and potentially saving ratepayers even more. Mr. Speaker, everyone in the province, quite frankly, has agreed. Everyone has agreed with this position but the opposition party. So much for cooperation in this House. So much for what's good for Nova Scotia. If he actually believed in that, he would stand up and stand with Nova Scotia. We know that this policy is in the best interest of Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Member for Cape Breton Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is also to the Premier. You know, prior to the election, the Premier promised repeatedly, Mr. Speaker, that he'd remove the efficiency fee from power bills and make Nova Scotia pay for it, power pay for it, Mr. Speaker. As the Canadian Press report stated in September 9, 2013, I quote, the Liberals will shift the $46 million of cost to funding programs run by Efficiency Nova Scotia from customers to the utility, which the now Premier said would be able to pay for program from its annual profits, end quote, Mr. Speaker. But what we learned yesterday, Mr. Speaker, is that the Liberals are doing just the opposite, Mr. Speaker. In fact, under this new Liberal energy scheme, Nova Scotia Power will be able to charge ratepayers directly for the cost efficiency programs after 2016. That's 2016. It'll be on the rate, Mr. Speaker. So my question to the Premier, why did he allow his energy minister to break this very vital election promise?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, let me be clear. Not only did the energy minister keep our commitment to remove the efficiency tax off every power bill in this province, Mr. Speaker, we went a step further and found a way to even provide more savings to Nova Scotians by providing more competition for Nova Scotia Power. There's one thing that Nova Scotians need to know. Under this piece of legislation, power rates are going down on January 1st, and any way into the future, any efficiency programs, the only way that they'll be paying for them is if it drives more savings into their power bills.
The Honourable Member for Cape Breton Centre on his first supplementary.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, in a previous answer to the leader of the Brest Conservatives, the Premier said that everybody in Nova Scotia was on his side and agree with it. But, Mr. Speaker, not so, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if he had contacted the consumer advocate, John Merrick, because he doesn't agree with his position. In today's All Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker, he said for the province to take it off the bill in 2015, all they're doing is changing the way it was recovered. It's still out of the ratepayers, Mr. Speaker. So my question to the Premier, why does he now think it's okay to ask ratepayers to pay for efficiency programs?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know this is a difficult concept to understand for the member of the Democratic Party. But typically competition in the energy market or in any market, actually, will drive down costs. It's the fundamental principle driving competition. So what we did very early on in our mandate is made a commitment to remove the efficiency tax, which will take place on January 1 of next year. We have a standalone entity, Mr. Speaker, that is driving competition to on the fuel side of Nova Scotia Power. And the only way, Mr. Speaker, that any of those programs will be paid for by Nova Scotia Power is if they're actually cheaper, which actually reduces power rates for the people of the province, which actually reduces their fuel cost, Mr. Speaker. It's a win-win for the ratepayers of this province, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Cape Breton Centre on his final supplementary.
Well, you know, Mr. Speaker, during the days and weeks as we go and get and people are exposed to the light that's going to be put on to this scheme, we'll understand. And you know, Mr. Speaker, I'll be the first one to admit that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But Mr. Speaker, I'll take my lead from John Merrick, and not the Premier, Mr. Speaker, I would say, understands a bit more about this process. But according to him, Mr. Speaker, the power rates can defer $35 million of cost of efficiency in Nova Scotia and charge ratepayers. They could garner a rate return of 7 to 9%, Mr. Speaker. So I want to ask the Premier, what did Mr. Merrick tell him when he proposed this scheme to Mr. Merrick?
The Honourable Premier.
Well, let me tell the honourable member that I haven't spoken to Mr. Merrick, but I want to tell you that under the leadership of the Minister of Energy, there's been many conversations, Mr. Speaker, not only with Mr. Merrick but with Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker, to ensure that not only did we keep our commitment to removing the efficiency tax and reducing power rates in the province of Nova Scotia on January 1, but went a step further and created a separate entity that was going to drive competition, Mr. Speaker, which will in turn drive down power rates. Mr. Speaker, why would anyone be opposed to reducing power rates in the province of Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker, what Nova Scotians are opposed to, and they made this point loud and clear in the last election, is they are opposed to a government that promises one thing when they're running and then flip-flops and does the opposite when they get into power. That's the message they sent to the NDP after they broke their promise on our taxes. But the Premier has done them one up. He actually went on TV and guaranteed that the efficiency fee would be paid by Nova Scotia Power through their profits. And people believed him. But, Mr. Speaker, that is not what's happening today. That fee is going to end up right back on all of our power bills. A horrible shell game, a cruel shell game for all those Nova Scotia families who are struggling to pay the bills every month, Mr. Speaker. So I'll ask the Premier this. It took the NDP 9 months to break their promise on taxes. The Liberals have set a new Guinness record by doing it in 6 months. Why won't the Premier just admit the obvious that this is not what he promised Nova Scotians? Come clean.
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know what has happened to the leader of the Conservative Party. Why would he be opposed to reducing power rates in the province of Nova Scotia? You know, he is right. Nova Scotians made a decision on October 8th for a new government. And this government is keeping its commitment to the people of the province of Nova Scotia, and the efficiency tax will come off power bills in January of next year.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, here is the simple concept that I would like the other side to understand. What we are opposed to is a candidate for office who goes on TV and guarantees something and then does the opposite after the election is over. That's what we're opposed to, Mr. Speaker. Of course, we would all like to see our power rates go down, and we should all work hard to make that happen, Mr. Speaker. But taking the fee off one part of our power bill and then allowing the power company to charge every last dollar of it right back on another part of our power bill is not what the Premier guaranteed. That's the point that he seems to be having trouble getting today, Mr. Speaker. That's the shell game. So, Mr. Speaker, the government is touting the Vermont model. The Vermont model, which is this great example of how to do this in a transparent manner. Except they didn't do their homework, Mr. Speaker, because you know what they're doing in Vermont? They're actually taking that efficiency fee and putting it on a separate line item on the Vermont power bills, so in a fair and open and transparent manner, everyone can see what they're doing instead of burying it in the general power rate, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to ask the Premier, why are they bragging about the Vermont model, which is going to be more transparent and more clear, and instead engaging this elaborate shell game and doing the opposite, burying the increase somewhere else in our power bill?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Here's a simple concept for the leader of the Conservative Party to understand. Power bills are going down on January 1. I know he's disappointed about that, Mr. Speaker. I know he's disappointed about the fact that we were able to drive down power rates in the province of Nova Scotia. And I know he's disappointed, quite frankly, that we've continued to drive competition in the energy market, Mr. Speaker, so power rates will continue to go down under the leadership of the Minister of Energy. And I want to remind the members opposite that the Nova Scotia Power is paying $40 million out of their shareholders, Mr. Speaker, directly to low-income Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, power rates went up by 3% on January 1st under this Premier's watch. There is over $90 million in future power rate increases. It's a fact. Something they opposed in opposition, Mr. Speaker. Something that they said the previous government should roll back, and yet they didn't when they had the chance. $90 million in fuel costs being deferred to a future day. Now the Premier wants to add $35 million in efficiency charges deferred to a future day. Power rates are not going down. We just put it off to a future day, Mr. Speaker. That is the point. What we are opposed to is a shell game where you guarantee one thing and you do the opposite. But will the Premier at least admit the truth that this is not what he promised Nova Scotians?
Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, you want to talk about a deferral? It would have been, quite frankly, if we had adopted the power scheme that was put forward by the leader of the Conservative Party when he wanted to freeze power rates to a future day, Mr. Speaker. What we did is take the efficiency tax off of power rates and reduce power rates for the Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, in 6 short months, this government has become expert at economic sleight of hand and fiscal shell games. When it comes to the graduate retention rebate, Nova Scotia graduates are the big losers. Because of the elimination of the rebate, many young Nova Scotians will see their after-tax income decline this year. My question to the Minister, will the Minister please explain how reaching into the wallets of our best and brightest Nova Scotians will entice graduates to stay in Nova Scotia and meet the objectives of the Ivanhoe Report?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Honourable Member for the question. Mr. Speaker, the answer to the question is very simple. The evidence was clear, 7 years of evidence was clear, that the graduate retention rebate wasn't doing what it was intended to do and what its name was actually says, to retain young people here in our province. And for that reason, we are looking for other ways to ensure that young people get the first job that they need to actually attach to the workforce, because that's what young people are telling us is really the obstacle for them staying in our province. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, that is certainly is contrary to what I've been hearing from graduates across this province in the last few days. Mr. Speaker, the graduate retention tax rebate provided up to $15,000 in relief to graduates who stayed and put down roots in Nova Scotia. That's the price of a first car or a down payment on a first home. The elimination of the program is a whopping 275% tax increase for our graduates. The consolation prize for students is the elimination of interest on student loans, a measure that provides about $800 in benefit. My question to the minister, does the minister expect graduates who just got the biggest tax hike of their lives to stay and make a life in Nova Scotia because of an $800 interest teaser?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and again, I appreciate the question. Mr. Speaker, it's never easy to make changes, but our job is to, and all of our jobs in this House, is to look at programs that are effective and to support those programs to meet the needs of Nova Scotians. And I do understand that some Nova Scotians benefited from this rebate and that they are disappointed, and for that I'm sorry. But the fact is, Mr. Speaker, 7 years of experience shows it wasn't working. And Mr. Speaker, we have evidence not only from our own internal analysis of Stats Canada and other information about out-migration, but we have information from reports that were done by the Centre for Policy Alternatives, the Canadian Federation of Students, and Students Nova Scotia that say the very same thing. And just for that point, I would like to table one of those reports. This is the Centre for Policy Alternatives, I believe, Fairness Funding and Our Collective Future, in which they say tax credits are an ineffective use of public money and of reducing student debt, as many graduates do not pay taxes until years after graduation and cannot access the credit. This, Mr. Speaker, was directly written about the graduate retention rebate. Mr. Speaker, the member opposite knows that this was a tax rebate and has nothing to do with the tax rates in this province. So I'd like to table that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East on his final supplementary. Pictou Centre, pardon me, my apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, you cannot paint a broad picture that covers all students in this province, and there's certainly a lot of students very disappointed in this province, and they've been contacting several MLAs with regard to their disappointment in this recent move by the government. Mr. Speaker, Jake Rideout is a recent graduate who did everything he thought he was supposed to do. After graduation, Jake went home to Royal Nova Scotia to start a small business because he wanted to create value in his community. Part of his decision to stay and build a business in Nova Scotia was the graduate retention rebate, which he planned to use to service his student debt. Jake doesn't feel entitled, but he is disappointed. All he is asking for was some help to get on his feet in exchange for creating value through a small business, injecting life into the rural economy, and banking his future on a better Nova Scotia. My question to the minister, why has the minister chosen to punish ambitious young people like Jake Rideout, who have done all the right things? Why does she want to drive people like Jake away?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for his third question. I think it was his third. Mr. Speaker, this is a program that some people in Nova Scotia were able to access, but you had to have a higher income in order to access that credit. What we heard repeatedly from young people across the province, and I heard it again and again during my pre-budget consultations, was that they need the opportunity to get their first job in this province. That's the biggest thing. So, Mr. Speaker, what we are intending to do is to look at evidence and to base our planning and our spending on evidence. Mr. Speaker, it's unfortunate, but after 7 years of having various credits and the graduate retention rebate, we have not been able to show any evidence that this is working. And that is exactly what Nova Scotian taxpayers have been telling me again and again, that they expect us to do the things that are working and are effective. Mr. Speaker, for that reason, thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, for that reason, we feel that it's an obligation of government to look at programs to be evidence-based and to ensure that they are actually attaining their aim before they get continued. And I'm afraid in the case of 7 years of evidence and also support from a number of other people who have studied this issue and studied the benefit of the credit, we felt that this was absolutely the right decision to make for Canadian and Nova Scotia PACs.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, last week nurses who had recently graduated from nursing programs were hit twice by this Liberal government, once with the essential services legislation that took away their collective bargaining rights, and again when the Liberals cut the graduate retention rebate. Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Premier, what does he think the effect of the elimination of the graduate retention rebate will have on the morale of young nurses who qualified for this tax credit?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, let me be clear. Unlike the New Democratic Party, we have not taken away the right to strike from any health care workers. Mr. Speaker, we tried to strike a balance, which is ensuring that the essential services that Nova Scotians rely on will be in place while we allow workers in this province to have the right, if the collective bargaining process doesn't work, to strike. We struck that balance last week, Mr. Speaker, and the majority of Nova Scotians have appreciated that balance. Mr. Speaker, as was laid out just by the Minister of Finance, we recognize there are some Nova Scotians who were using this rebate as part of being able to avail themselves of this rebate, but the original part of it was the retention component, and all the evidence shows that wasn't actually working to retain students into this province. And what we've done is taken it and targeted towards job creation. You'll see the apprenticeship opportunities, you'll see the research opportunities they're providing, the graduate opportunities, which was announced in the budget, which will be expanded over the next number of years. The object of this is to try to ensure that more Nova Scotians have an opportunity to stay here in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, earlier, before question period, I had an opportunity to introduce a young nurse, Amanda Parsons. Amanda Parsons was here last week, as you know, Mr. Speaker, and spoke out against the essential services legislation. And now Amanda is saying that the elimination of the graduate retention rebate feels like a double whammy. She's now applying for jobs in Newfoundland, Mr. Speaker. So my question to the Premier is, now that Amanda Parsons feels betrayed by the Liberal government, are you prepared to provide her with an answer to why the graduate retention rebate will drive people like her out of the nursing profession in this province?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I also want to thank Amanda for her commitment to the people of this province in providing health care. It's an essential part of the delivery of the health care model in this province, Mr. Speaker, and all of us appreciate the great health care professionals that we have in this province. The challenge, Mr. Speaker, about government is that you have to base decisions based on evidence. The evidence is, Mr. Speaker, that while there were Nova Scotians who were using the rebate program, the idea, Mr. Speaker, was to create a job opportunity for new graduates and retaining young people, Mr. Speaker. And what we've laid out very clearly is a different direction, one that we are targeting directly on job creation so that we can keep more Nova Scotians here.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the evidence is before us here today, Mr. Speaker. We have a nurse who is looking to leave the province because the graduate retention rebate has now given her no incentive whatsoever to stay in our health care system, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Premier, why is he so unconcerned that nursing graduates like Amanda Parsons are applying for jobs elsewhere due to his government's misdirected decision to eliminate the graduate retention rebate?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, we're always concerned, quite frankly, when we hear Nova Scotians looking, wanting to leave our province, Mr. Speaker, for opportunities they believe are elsewhere. It's one of the reasons why we've targeted towards job creation in this province, toward providing apprenticeship opportunities, graduate opportunities in this province, Mr. Speaker. It's striking a balance. One of the things, as the Minister of Finance clearly laid out, it is able to provide an opportunity for as many young Nova Scotians to be here. What's before us, Mr. Speaker, quite frankly, is that as we were trying to put out essential service legislation to make sure that we were protecting the health and welfare of Nova Scotians, the leader of the Democratic Party, Mr. Speaker, was standing up here protesting, forcing a strike on the people of this province, and it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough that she forced a strike. She had to drag it out to get into another shift, Mr. Speaker.
Just before we get to the next question, I want to remind all members on both sides of the House that if you have a question, speak to your House leaders and get your name on your list, and you'll have ample opportunity to pose the questions. And I am pleased to say that we're a little bit more awake than we were yesterday here. So, the Honourable Member for Northside, Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotians, and in particular recent graduates, are perplexed about why this government decided to axe the Graduate Retention Rebate Program. With one short-sighted measure, the government will save $30 million a year on the backs of our students. At a time when the Ibany Commission tells us that it is crucial to support the success of young people in Nova Scotia, the elimination of the Graduate Retention Rebate Program amounts to the biggest tax increase in Nova Scotia history for the thousands of young Nova Scotians starting their career and deciding where they want to live and work. So my question to the Minister is, why would the Minister eliminate a valuable program and make it easier for our province's best and brightest to leave the province to build their futures?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member opposite. Mr. Speaker, as I've been saying in earlier answers to the question, there's no question at all that some people were able to enjoy and benefit from this tax credit, but it was not creating the result that it was intended to do. And for that reason, we've looked at the evidence and we've listened to other people who presented us with evidence. And for that very reason, we had said from evidence base, from 7 years of looking at the stats, Mr. Speaker, the evidence was clear it wasn't working, and we need to invest our money strategically in the proper building blocks that will help open the doors for jobs in this province. That's what they need, Mr. Speaker. They need jobs. And we are introducing the Graduate Opportunities Program, among a whole raft of other ideas that were presented in the budget to help support young people in that endeavour. Mr. Speaker, if I may, there is also... I hope that the member opposite may have seen it, but there was evidence from Stats Canada, it comes from the Canada Revenue Agency tax filers data that shows information on out-migration for the years 2003 all the way to 2011. And, Mr. Speaker, it shows clearly there was no improvement in the out-migration during that period of time. And I would like to present that, if I could. I'll just table it for the House. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we have a demographic problem here in Nova Scotia, with more people retiring out of the labour force than young people entering it. I have figures from Statistics Canada that show an average of 500 more people stayed in the province during the years the rebate was available. So my question as a minister is, when our province so desperately needs young people to stay and build their lives in Nova Scotia, why is the minister going out of her way to drive them down the road?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. And again, to the Honourable Member, I appreciate the question very much. The evidence was very clear, Mr. Speaker, that the out-migration pattern had continued the same, and the cost of the program increased every year with no measurable impact, no improvement to the outflow of young people from our province. Mr. Speaker, members of the House know that I'm a mother and that my children are in that very demographic. I know the issues that are facing young people, and the difficulty of getting that first job is what I hear most from the young people in my neighbourhood, from my children's friends, from the people I met across the province. They need access to the first job, that opportunity to get experience. And time again in Nova Scotia, employers, and I include the provincial government, will ask for 2 to 5 years experience for entry-level jobs. And Mr. Speaker, that's the sort of thing that we want to stop. We want to help employers pick up young graduates right away and give them experience and the opportunity to start their careers and stay here in Nova Scotia. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the graduate retention rebate was very beneficial to boost post-secondary students in Nova Scotia. It often made the difference about where the graduates could live, pay down their debt, including their student loans. In a recent Chronicle Herald story, the Minister of Finance is quoted as saying, and I'll table that document, Mr. Speaker, are they entitled? Are they telling me they're entitled to that money? She said to the students. Maybe that's what they're saying. So my question to the Minister is the Minister saying that graduates who are lucky enough to find a job in Nova Scotia, who struggle to pay their student debt, and who want to stay in our province, have an oversized sense of entitlement?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And again, I appreciate the question from the Honourable Member. Mr. Speaker, just to relate to that tabling of the article, there was certainly never any intention on my part to make that assumption. So going forward, the program simply doesn't work. And Mr. Speaker, the evidence is enormous that it doesn't work. It was also very clear from pre-budget submissions that I received, and many of them, but I will just quote from one more, if I may, and I'll table this document as well, Mr. Speaker. This one happens to be from Students Nova Scotia, but I also received the same information from the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives and from the Canadian Federation of Students. But, Mr. Speaker, this is very compelling when you hear the words of these other researchers speaking on behalf of where they think the funds should go. And it says, and again, speaking directly to the graduate retention rebate, it can only be claimed after graduation and then only after all other tax credits have been exhausted. As a result, the typical graduate retention rebate recipient has an income above the provincial median. I might add, Mr. Speaker, that means 50% of the income earners are below that median, 50% above. In addition to the distributional issues, there is no evidence that the graduate retention rebate has improved the retention and attraction of recent graduates to Nova Scotia. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to table that document as just further evidence, not from myself, but from another party. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of Finance. Last week, when the budget was handed down, students were shocked by the elimination of the graduate retention rebate. Student advocates who had spoken with the minister previous to the budget being released and talked about new things the government might consider doing to invest in student and graduates, but they never did ask for this funding to be eliminated outright. So my question to the minister is this. Why is the minister attempting to lay blame for the elimination of this program on student groups who are actually advocating for more support for students, not less?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Honourable Member for her question. Mr. Speaker, there was no intention to link those two things whatsoever. The evidence is clear, and the evidence has been provided by our own research, by Statistics Canada, by the Canadian Revenue Agency's out migration information that I just tabled a moment ago, by a number of other pre-budget submissions that we received and studies by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, Students Nova Scotia, the Canadian Federation of Students. I am not intending to lay blame at their feet. They've done information and studies, so has the Department of Finance. And Mr. Speaker, you don't introduce a program without having a review and an opportunity to see if it's working. Again, Nova Scotian taxpayers expect exactly that. And upon review, this program simply wasn't hitting the mark, Mr. Speaker. And for that reason, it is not in the budget for this year.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the evidence is far from clear, as the Minister says. The evidence tells us what the ongoing problem is, and we know we have a problem. But would the problem have even been greater without this program? Mr. Speaker, I suggest that it actually would have been much greater. So, Mr. Speaker, Jonathan Williams, who is the Executive Director of Students Nova Scotia, said, and I quote, "Eliminating the graduate retention rebate without reinvesting in supporting our young people is a betrayal of our students and graduates." So, Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Minister, why didn't she advocate on behalf of the students and graduates that she's responsible for supporting to ensure that this funding was left alone and they could stay in our province?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And again, I know that there are people in the province that were able to access this credit and that it is disappointing to them. I really do hear that, Mr. Speaker, and I understand it. But the fact of the matter is that it didn't change the overall oat migration. And the Honourable Member herself was a member of the government that introduced this with the intent of upping the numbers and improving the retention of young people. Mr. Speaker, we have definitely read the Ivany Report, understanding the importance of young people and their role in our province, and we are going to be introducing other programs which were mentioned in the budget as well, which are going to address the key factor, the factor that so many young people said, it's fine that there's a credit, but I can't access it. There's a great deal of misunderstanding, Mr. Speaker, that it was not the funds available to every Nova Scotian. It was available only to those who earned enough money to pay provincial taxes. And so many young Nova Scotians graduate without a good job, Mr. Speaker. That's a compelling reason why we looked at the evidence and want to address our efforts to the job creation and opening the doors that business can do with some incentives. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, over $40 million was being spent on this program. Now, Mr. Speaker, the evidence is that money was being distributed to someone. It doesn't strike me as being a reasonable explanation that there are people who couldn't access it. If you consider $40 million, that's a significant chunk of change, and an awful lot of people were getting access to it, many of them young Nova Scotians and international students who are prepared to stay in this province and put roots down in this province over a period of time. So my final question to the Minister, Mr. Speaker, are why are students and new grads being asked to pay the price of increased spending in this Liberal government's budget? Surely the Minister doesn't think that they're the ones that can afford this.
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Mr. Speaker, they are not being asked that at all. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister of Economic and Rural Development and Tourism. Mr. Speaker, we learned last week that the budget for the controversial cabinet slush fund went up $5 million. In opposition, the Liberal Premier said he'd get rid of it. But now he's keeping it, and he's increasing the budget by more than 18%. It's a complete 180 from his stance before and during the election. So why are the Liberals misleading Nova Scotians and jacking up the budget for the cabinet-controlled slush fund?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development and Tourism.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the member for the question. And it is a legitimate question because if you look at the budget numbers, the conclusions that have been reached by the member would be the legitimate conclusions that you would reach by looking at it. What I can advise the member is that the reason there is an increase in this year's budget for the Jobs Fund is because of the previous deals that were negotiated and signed by the NDP government, which were staggered as to what years they would be paid out. So because of the deals that they have shackled our government and Nova Scotians with, more money had to be put in to meet those liabilities, and I'll be more than happy for the member for Chester St. Margaret's to go line by line and project by project to show how. I will be happy to show that member how her government has saddled our government and Nova Scotians with the millions of dollars of deals that they made through that slush fund.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I thank the member for his answer. However, I don't know the Premier's promises in fine print, and I don't think all Nova Scotians do either. So there is nothing, I look at this and it's absolutely another Liberal flip-flop. No doubt about it, the Premier has decided it is in his best interest to maintain and control the fund and keep giving corporate bailouts. The Premier and his government have already given out $20 million. And I can table that. So my question is, when was the decision made to do a flip-flop on their election promise and jack up the budget for the cabinet-controlled slush fund?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development and Tourism.
Mr. Speaker, as I indicated in my previous answer, during estimates, I'll be more than happy to go through each of the deals that were signed by the previous government, which the way they were done is the funding was broken down over several years. So in order for us to meet the liabilities and the obligations that were signed by the previous government, more monies had to be put into the fund. I'll be more than happy to show the member each of those deals, where those monies came from, and why the money had to be put in the budget. Let me make it clear again, Mr. Speaker. We will be replacing the Nova Scotia Jobs Fund. There will be a new fund that is brought in that will clearly meet the obligations set out in the Travis Report and the concerns raised by Nova Scotians, and the members will have an opportunity to see that here in this House. But again, actions speak louder than words. Mr. Speaker, other than the ferry deal, which was signed by the previous and negotiated by the previous government, our government has not used the Nova Scotia Jobs Fund.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Liberals are desperate to make it look like they are keeping at least one election promise. In February, the Auditor General once again recommended moving the fund to the arm's length Nova Scotia Business Inc. In opposition, the Liberals agreed to this, but that's another broken Liberal promise. And I want to know, how many more promises are the Liberals going to break?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development and Tourism.
Mr. Speaker, let's look at what the member tabled from her first question. And she indicates that it was $20 million from the Nova Scotia Jobs Fund. It was not. Her own documents show one of the deals is from Nova Scotia Business Incorporated Strategic Investment Funds. Next one is Nova Scotia Business Incorporated, the Nova Scotia Fund, not the Job Fund. The other one is Nova Scotia Business Incorporated, Nova Scotia Fund, Nova Scotia Business Incorporated, Nova Scotia Fund. The Leader of the Official Opposition is on record saying that he supports Nova Scotia Business Incorporated and says that they should continue to be doing investments as they've done. What they've tabled here are investments made by Nova Scotia Business Incorporated. The only investment that our government has had to use the Jobs Fund is the one previously negotiated by the NDP for the Yarmouth Ferry. Actions speak louder than words. We have not used that fund. That fund will not continue to exist. We will replace it with something that Nova Scotians clearly see as an appropriate means of investing their tax dollars.
Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, on the 12th of February, Ray Ivaney and his Commission on Building Nova Scotia's New Economy issued their report. And Mr. Ivaney was unequivocal when he spoke with members of this legislature. He said, and I will table, there's no way to overstate the seriousness of the current situation. Of course, he was speaking about the economy and about the demographic challenges we have in Nova Scotia due to our aging population and a growing proportion of our population being retired, with young people and skilled workers leaving our province. So, Mr. Speaker, in the spirit of this report, and given the elimination of the graduate retention rebate, can the Premier please explain why he's opposed to both domestic and international student retention programs for our province?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The simple answer to that is we're not.
She actually read the report of Mr. Ivan. He talked about creating job opportunities to keep young people in this province, Mr. Speaker. It's clearly laid out a number of times that the program put in place, while being used by some Nova Scotians, was not a retention tool. What we have actually now is broadened the apprenticeship opportunities to keep young skilled workers here in this province, Mr. Speaker. We've providing funding towards research opportunities to keep students graduate from our universities here in this province, do research work here in this province. Under the NDP, Mr. Speaker, they left and went to Ontario and other parts of Canada to do that work. We're going to retain them to do that work here in Nova Scotia. And in place, Mr. Speaker, we're working with the private sector to be able to create a job opportunity, Mr. Speaker, which the number one thing is young Nova Scotians are telling us what will keep them in this province is a job.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I suspect that the Premier, like myself and other members of this House, are literally hearing from hundreds of Nova Scotians, young Nova Scotians, who relied on this graduate retention rebate to put down roots in this province and to remain in this province in their first job. So it's very inconsistent with the Premier saying that this is what their approach is, but this is what Nova Scotians are telling us the impact of this change will be on them. So I want to ask the Premier how he can square the circle of taking more than $40 million away from students with a program that encourages both international and domestic students to remain in Nova Scotia, and at the same time not reinvesting in programs that would allow the policy objectives that we all agree, coming from the Ivany report, need to be developed, supported, and enhanced, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I said earlier, Mr. Speaker, we are investing. We're investing in apprenticeship opportunities in this province for young tradespeople, Mr. Speaker. We're providing research opportunities, which is an investment by the government of Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker, to keep university students in this province. And, Mr. Speaker, we're working with the private sector to create job opportunities for university and community college graduates to retain those jobs right here in Nova Scotia. Mr. Speaker, like every program, Mr. Speaker, it continues to ramp up over a period of time, but we're very encouraged by the support that we've been receiving from the private sector, from the very people who are going to create the jobs and drive the economic growth in this province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Among the people we're hearing from are many young entrepreneurs who actually use this program as part of their plan for the development of their business and the investment in their business in this province. And they are telling us that they fear now that they're going to be able to continue to operate those small businesses that they already have invested in. And they're looking for opportunities elsewhere. So, Mr. Speaker, my question to the Premier is this. When he reaches in and takes almost $50 million out of the pockets of the very many international and domestic students who we are trying to retain, does he really expect Nova Scotia to feel like the warm and welcoming place it needs to be for new Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, what I'm hearing from Nova Scotians and Mr. Speaker, who are graduating from our community colleges and our universities, Mr. Speaker, is that they're looking for a job, Mr. Speaker. What we're building is a program and programs that provide those economic opportunities and jobs here. It's the broadening of the apprenticeship opportunities, Mr. Speaker. We are actually putting in research opportunities, Mr. Speaker, to keep university students in this province. We're working with the private sector to grow real job opportunities in this province, Mr. Speaker. And in the coming days, Mr. Speaker, we'll make an announcement around economic incentives, which will actually be targeted towards small businesses in this province, Mr. Speaker, to the very thing to keep those entrepreneurs in this province and give them access to much-needed capital.
The Honourable Member for King's South.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is for the Minister of Agriculture. Mr. Speaker, yesterday the Minister of Agriculture answered many good questions at the Subcommittee on Supply. Mr. Speaker, the wine industry has the potential to be a real economic driver in several of the ridings in this province, and particularly in King South. Mr. Speaker, will the Minister of Agriculture provide the House with an update on the developments in the wine industry and its potential for our province?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's with great pleasure I rise to talk about the wine industry in Nova Scotia. As a lot of people in the province probably don't realize, our wine industry offers us one huge opportunity for growth. The only problem is it takes a long time to grow the grape plants to a point to produce grapes. Once they're there, it can provide up to a couple hundred years of growth and very productive growth off those plants. So it's one thing we have to work towards expanding. The other thing is that wine industry has really evolved in Nova Scotia past the point of being a cottage industry to a true industry that now employs hundreds of people throughout the province, makes huge economic impact to the province, and indeed is one industry we need to grow and grow successfully. It meets all the requirements of environmental consciousness, profitability, and all the things we need to do in the province. So it's an industry that we have to grow. We're committed to growing. We've been meeting with the wine industry on a regular basis now to set up an incentive program to work with them to make sure our industry can grow and prosper. And not only that, but our industries have won international awards against some of the many very well-known wines from all over Europe. So I think we're poised to really set up a new economic development tool in the province that hadn't been there before, and we look forward to doing that. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question today is for the Minister of Finance. As we saw record increases to our net debt during the Dexter government, the Liberals cried foul. Yet this new Liberal government is committed to continuing this trend. $1 billion more in debt over the next 4 years. There is no hope for tax relief in Nova Scotia as long as these misguided priorities and shell games of the Liberals continue. During an interview last week, the Minister of Finance was quoted as saying, "We have to balance, but we can't do anything until our debt, we can't do anything about the debt until our government is in surplus." And I'd table that for the benefit of the House. We also heard quite a bit of talk today about how we need to create an environment where new grads have an opportunity to get their first job. And I think that all speaks to the environment, so the business environment that we live in today. So in that same article, the minister was quoted as saying that the government wants to try and stimulate the business community because government can't create jobs, but government has to create the right environment. So let's look at the environment we have today, Mr. Speaker. We have the highest personal taxes. We have the highest corporate taxes. We have the highest small business taxes. Our HST is the highest in the country. And our personal income brackets are not indexed. So our Nova Scotians are suspect to bracket creep. And now we have our new grads getting the biggest tax increase in their lives. So that doesn't sound like an environment that will allow business to create jobs for new grads. So my question today for the minister is when we look through the budget documents and we see three more years of deficit spending and we see four more years of debt increases, what is this government going to do? And when are they going to do it to create an environment where businesses will be able to grow, where businesses will be able to thrive, and businesses will be able to hire new grads? Because that environment is not there today, and I don't see it in the budget for the next 4 years. So I'd be interested to hear...
The Honorable Minister of Finance, I think we have time for one answer.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I think there's time maybe even for two. But Mr. Speaker, the budget that I presented last week is a fair and honest representation of where we are, and that's something that was sorely needed in this province. We are not going to be able to move forward with the confidence level of the business community unless they understood that we were being frank and transparent and honest about where we are. And I've spent my time. Thank you. And Mr. Speaker, I'm sure the member would know that I visited his community. I've been around the province and in many, many communities. I've had roundtables with business groups, with students, with young people in the high schools, with nonprofit groups and people that work in social enterprise. I've extended the number of people that have had a chance to have input. And, Mr. Speaker, I heard time and again that they felt a greater sense of confidence since the change in government. And with that, we'll be building the building blocks of trust and working together to actually provide the foundation for a growth in our economy. Because, Mr. Speaker, even businesses that might be wanting to expand won't do it if they don't have a sense of confidence in the environment in which they're operating.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, travelling around the province and talking to new grads, that's probably cold comfort for them today to know that they've been hit with this massive tax increase. Every Nova Scotian will be hit with bracket creep. The promised HST decrease has been rescinded by this government. The minister was quoted last week as saying, the minister has been very clear that even with the tax review, they're not looking at reducing our revenue. So if the government is not looking at reducing its revenue with this tax review that our Liberal friend from Ontario was going to conduct, I wonder what they are planning to do. Are they? They should do as I say they should do. And,
order, please. The time allotted for oral questions by members to ministers has expired. We'll move on to orders of the day. I recognize the Government House Leader. The Honourable Member for Queen's Shelburne on a point of order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise on a point of order. Today in question period, the backbenchers asked questions again of their own cabinet ministers. Mr. Speaker, on April the 1st and 2nd of 2014, this year, in law amendments, over 150, I repeat, 150 percenters, members of the public, brought their concerns to this House. Not one question was asked by the Liberal members. Today, those same Liberals, backbenchers, ask questions in question period, taking times from opposition parties. Mr. Speaker, Liberal members is taking away time from QP and these opposition parties. The Liberal government have no time